back again with another one. I hope you are all doing very, very well. April has come and I don't even know where to start this episode from because I feel like there's so much on my mind, there's so much to discuss, and I don't even know where to start. So the key one, at least I'm going to get through the rest of this episode, and I think I'll just get through in other episodes about other things, is just the layoff situation. So I know a lot of people have been asking me about a bunch of different things, and I've just like not answered them just because like I wanted to figure out my own headspace and figure out my own life and stuff, and then come back to this situation. So that's why I guess I took some kind of hiatus a little bit. So first of all, let's start with Meta laying off. So in March, you know, Mark announced that he was going to lay off more people. I think about 21,000 in total. He had already done around 11,000 in November of last year. And so there was another round coming first in March, then April, and then May. So we are coming up. So in April, we're coming up on the next round of layoffs. And that one is expected to impact tech specifically. The HR one was done in March. The tech one is coming in April. And then the May one is going to be business people. Now, my initial thoughts, even when I read that, was like, first of all, you're torturing people. Like, I understand. Okay, let me first, before I give my own opinion. The way I understood that message was he was trying, and this is Mark I'm talking about, was trying to give the sense of transparency. Meta, Facebook, has always had this culture, quote unquote, of transparency and like sharing information. And that's kind of how they try to do things typically. But the problem with announcing something as bad as layoffs is that you end up looking like you're torturing people. We're like, I'm going to fire some people, but you have to wait a month to find out who. It's giving Joker. Like, and I fully understand that's not the intent. That's not the expectation. That's not the spirit of what it was done as, but that's kind of the vibe it ends up coming across as. Like, so we're just going to sit here and wait to discover our fate. It's not fair for anybody to be in that position where you don't know if you're going to be laid off in a month, whether you are involved, where you are safe. Should you look for a new job? Should you not? If you're on a visa like I am, that puts you in a very precarious situation. And so for a lot of myself and my colleagues who are like international working for these kind of companies, especially while your status in the US is dependent on your job, that makes you very, very, and like it raises the angst on everything. And it makes you very anxious as well in terms of what can happen. Can I even afford to pay my rent? Can I even afford to be here after 60 days? That is not a fun place to be for anybody at all. So to me, that was certainly not the call I would have made. But again, understand that this is my bias because I know that as an international, I would be worried about that kind of thing primarily. Understand also that from Mark's perspective, in the way he wants to run his company, he felt that this was a risk worth taking in terms of giving people the heads up to maybe even prepare, maybe to find new jobs, maybe to interview, maybe to do whatever they need to do, as opposed to it coming as a shock. Because the last time they did this, we found out by email. There was rumors about stuff, you know, no one, accepted or denied or any of that. Nobody could confirm. But just one day we woke up, there was an email. All right, you know, you've been saved or you've been let go. Like that too had its own, you know, experience. So between the announcement and now, what in my opinion has happened? I thought that like a couple of people did the needful in terms of either finding jobs or whatever. Some people did the needful, yes. Some of that people just decided, well, they're going to wait for the severance and just like go and chill on vacation if it comes. Because imagine if the severance matches the one from November/March, which was 16 weeks of severance, which is 16 weeks of pay, and then 2 weeks for every year that you've been at Meta. So if you've been at Meta for more than 5 years, that's an additional like 10 weeks. So 10 weeks, 16 weeks, 26 weeks of pay from Meta. And you get to just like figure out that time to go and do what you need to do. I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, then maybe it's not worth finding a new job. It's like, you know what? Even if I get laid off, I will take time off. And if I don't get laid off, then I'm okay and everything continues just fine. So if you've been at Meta a long time, it makes sense to just wait it out and see what happens because you're going to get a big payday. And if you've not been a mentor a long time, like people like myself, then it makes some sense to prepare for, you know, whether you're let go or not. And so that's kind of been my own headspace. And that's why I've not like actively participated in conversation either on Facebook or LinkedIn or any of that. Just like, it was just sad, really. Just sad that that was kind of the situation. But again, I'm fine overall. Like, you know, especially for a lot of my friends who like asked me and things like that. And I'm obviously going to refer them to this podcast, which is kind of the point. I'm relatively fine. Like, I would not worry about me. Like, I am the type that takes, you know, my destiny to my own hands. I don't like when people will try to like move me about and make it seem like as if, you know, you can dictate how I should live. That to me isn't a way anybody should live. I think anyone should have the freedom to do and undo as they like. You know, at the end of the day, it's employment. You know, it's not like you have no choice and there aren't other employers. Now, understand the employment field is difficult in terms of finding jobs, in terms of interviewing and what have you. It is difficult in this time and age, especially because, you know, everybody's laying off. Everybody is like, the same money is tight and, you know, the dollar is doing this thing. So sure, there's all that that's happening. Yes. However, I still think, you know, you should go out and do the needful when you can. So that's the one side of, you know, the layoff situation. In terms of my colleagues, well, I wish a lot of them the best because I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting experience when the layoffs are announced, whenever that happens. I believe it's supposed to be Wednesday the 19th or something like that. So, you know, when that day comes, I suspect, you know, people will be putting another round of posts on LinkedIn about how like Meta has, you know, laid them off, they're part of it, you know, they're giving their plans and things like that. And so I hope that as a world, we are all going to be kind to one another. We're all going to be, you know, graceful to each other as difficult times fall upon some families and some households. And, you know, hopefully a lot of them are well. The one thing I do want to mention, though, in addition to this Meta situation, is companies that are like going through a lot of this, like, you know, Twitter with Elon, Meta now with, you know, this situation. In this lane of like, a lot of them are going to, you know, land on their feet and stuff. But I wonder sometimes, like, if I was that rich and in that much control of such a massive company, would I do any different in the way I handle things? And I want to believe that I would, right? Like, and I want to believe that even if you were at some point not as comfortable as they started off life, I feel like there'd be some grace to how to do this thing that's like, it just feels a little more authentic than the way it has happened. Like, even the Googles, the all of them, like, when we're laying people off, it just feels so like, somehow, like, and I always wonder about stuff like that, like, don't their second in command, like whether it's head of product, head of Instagram, head of whomever, CEO of whatever, chief whomever of whomever, chief marketing something, don't any of them come from like regular working backgrounds at all? Like, I feel like it's troubling to me that sometimes like this would almost like give them a second opinion where it's like the way you think is going to land isn't how it's going. So think about even, so let's continue on this Meta trajectory of stuff. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is within Mark's notes on like, you know, year of efficiency and what else did he say? And laying off and whatever. He said something about like people who are closer to work, especially at the outset, seem to on average perform better or something like that. Like essentially insinuating that like not come back to work or anything, but like if you start in the office, you are typically much more prepared for work than if you are completely remote. And whether that is true or not, it is very somehow to say that when like a lot of your chief whomever of something is in multiple places, like I believe the head of Instagram, for example, lives in London now. His head of product lives somewhere else. Some other people, one other guy lives in like Tel Aviv. Like, and then some guy, I think it was CEO that replaced Cheryl, moved to like Valencia or something like, or somewhere in Spain. Like, you would think that like, okay, if you want to say that kind of stuff to people who are like me, who are like, you know, I'm going to move to be close to work, which for example, I did, right? Like even in the age of like Meta's very remote policy, I decided I was going to move to the Bay Area so that I could be close to Menlo Park, see the, you know, experience and figure out, you know, my coworkers, my colleagues, da, 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 da. So I did that. And even in the 1 year I've been here now, I've gone to work a couple of times and there's like nobody there. Like, and not nobody in like a nobody. It's like my team anyways will end up not being in the office. So most of the time I'm going into the office to take the Zoom call I could have taken at home. So imagine Mark in his remarks saying that someone like me should be coming to the office. Okay, yes, but I'm coming to the office. But like the people who have the knowledge who can leave are not there. So unless you're telling all of us to come back to the office, this idea that you want to do like half and half, like, oh no, come to the office, but like when you've come into the office enough, you can start going away from the office. The math wasn't mathing in that way. So unless he's absolutely saying everybody come back to work, this half and half thing that he's almost like trying to, you know, tether this line to me, kubosi, like that's just the best way to put this because like the English is failing me right now, right? Like, uncle, if you're saying something, say it with your chest. Are we coming back to the office? Are we staying out away? Like, because if your own guys are not in the office, uncle, please don't tell me to come to the office. Like, I'm sorry to say. So unless you're saying, okay, you know, you're obviously, you're forever free to go to the office, forever free to come and take free food, forever free to come and take their drinks and whatever. But like that thing about like, oh, people in the office perform better on average than, I was like, uncle, don't do that. Don't do that. Unless you're saying with your chest, with your full chest, I should come to the office, plus you too. Don't do that. Like, again, this is one of those things that like, you would imagine that you would surround yourself with people that have opinions that differ from yours, that would challenge your view and your thinking enough to think of a different perspective that exists. Like, what value is it if you're telling new people who are joining your teams to come to the office, but you are saying with the other side of your mouth, oh, if you've come into the office enough, then later down the line, you can leave. Like, what does that mean? So unless, and I know now, for example, that they've not really promoted their remote opportunities as much. That to me, again, is one of those things that's like, okay, I understand you are trying to cut down on the remote part of the hiring going forward. Cool. But let's say I join from an office, but everybody else that's already in the team is now remote. So what are we talking about? You know? So man, the long and short of it is that the whole thing wasn't, I don't think it landed the way he intended because some of it was disjointed. Some of it was like, oh, year of efficiency. Yes. You know, we want to reduce money. We want to flatten. We want to shake back. We want to shower. We want to save on cost. That to me just seemed like a disjointed idea. But again, with a different perspective, I understand that if I was running his company to like, what else would I say? Letting people go because of efficiency. Like, I don't think it's efficiency. I think you just want to save money and that's okay. Just say it with your chest. I want to save money. I don't think Meta is necessarily the company that's about being efficient. There is no efficient way to do what Meta is doing. Like, what company at that size is really efficient? Like, the aim of the game is to be so big and such a behemoth that you can just like knock out everybody. Being a behemoth means you are not efficient. Like, that's what I'm like. Sometimes, again, I understand corporate speak. It's corporate speak where you have to like dress it up in a nice way for everybody to understand. But like, personally, I like when we just say to the chest, uncle, we're trying to reduce, you know, cost. Finish. Okay. And we think salaries are a good place to do it. Okay, cool. But anyways, the other side of all of this, separate from Mark and several is Wall Street and obviously American capitalism. I talk about capitalism a lot on my Instagram now, more recently I've realized, but you know, when this man announced that he's going to lay off people, the stock started going up. And I believe now we are 70 something percent higher on Meta stock from when the initial layoffs were announced or something like that. And so you look at stuff like that and you're like, you see, of course you are going to assume that layoffs are the answer. Because I don't think Meta will necessarily become more efficient just because people have been laid off. I mean, sure, you probably like overwhelm a certain set of people, but the same people who are doing the work before are still going to be the same people who are doing the work now. I don't think that is going to necessarily change per se. Again, this is obviously my own opinion. I'm not saying that's what will happen, but I feel like the superstars are always going to be superstars. Even if you cut a few of them, sure. But like most of the time at these companies, it's typically a subset of people who are doing most of the work. Everybody else is either just there for like, you know, morale to help the, you know, the stars along, which can happen. And sometimes it is also because you need people to do the busy work. Like there is a certain amount of work that is just busy work that every major corporation must do. And sometimes you just create noise. And so I understand, obviously, some of that noise will be removed, yes. But I think even in general, with the way all this has happened, the morale at Meta isn't really the same. Like, there are a couple of people who just talk about what Meta used to be when it was Facebook. That is a subset of people at Meta. There are a couple of people who just don't care and just want to do the work. There's other people who are like, you know, okay, I came here to make impact, but like, where's the impact that's available? Because if I work on this project, I can get cut. If I work on that project, I might get cut. And you may not have enough time to demonstrate your impact. So, yeah, those are essentially my thoughts on the Meta situation, really. I know, you know, someone asked me about this and another couple of people asked me. And so this is my thoughts on it. It's still a great company, don't get me wrong. Fantastic place to have worked and have seen. I have thoroughly enjoyed my experience. I have no regrets having gone there and experienced this, because I think for me, even getting to the pinnacle of, in my mind, tech, in those kind of places, you know, there's something about going to FANG. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think it was great to know that, like, even after doing like a year, I feel like when I got my rating back, kind of like, you know, exceeded expectations. I was like, I mean, I know I'm a star, you know what I mean? I know I'm a star boy. But like, to get that validation too in the performance review, like, was kind of nice. To get, you know, the bonus and stuff like that, also nice and validating. So really, I wouldn't change too much about that experience. I think if I knew that, you know, layoffs were going to be available, maybe would I have done as much work? I don't know. I feel like professional pride would have stopped me from like shaming myself. But I think about something where I'm like, if I had done not a great job, maybe I would have wanted to take it as everyone's to in November or something, you know? Because that's everyone's kind of nice. Let me not lie to you. Like, again, I know I made light of a very difficult situation, yes. But I'm just saying, though, when you look at the severance that was paid, I think it was generous, of course. And that's one of the things I won't fault Mark for. I think, in fairness to him, I think he has tried to be as fair and even more than fair in the severance of people. I just don't know that like the way it has been communicated has necessarily hit in the way he hoped. And in fairness to him, Mark isn't even 40. So I don't imagine he's necessarily trying to be wicked or evil. And he's also just had another kid too. So I think he's obviously not a robot entirely. He's not a cyborg entirely. So that's not my thing. I just think when you don't have that perspective of other people to like help you see that this thing is not landing in the way you think it is going to land, bro. That's kind of my thoughts on Mark. But overall, it's been a great company for him for all the time he has been there. And, you know, Cheryl also being there is also another thing too. So I just don't know that it is fair when you say things like, you know, efficiency and all these kind of things, and then, you know, come back to work and then all your own, you know, second in commands are all in multiple places around the world. And anyways, with these few words of mine, I want me to convince you and not confuse you that, you know, Meta was fun. It was a good time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's been real. Peace.